June 6th, she called me about 9 and she said she thinks she has what Roger had when I take the class. And I said, well, I wasn't here last week and I've been sick and I ain't done my lesson. So I said, but I can facilitate. I'll just ask you all the questions because you were here. She said, oh, we're just going over the discussion questions at the bottom. So we're going to just... that's what we're going to do. We're just going to talk about what y'all have. Because what did you say? I'm sorry.
Our book for today is not one going up there.
No, it's the lesson on greed.
What lesson?
This is Women of Faith.
But I left mine on the couch while I was looking at it.
No, I do not see anything extra.
Oh, here it is. Sorry.
I thought Betty was out there, Locklear. I thought that was. Who was parked out there when we got here?
There was more cars out there than there is people.
Was that? That was you parked out there, right? Mm-hmm. When I walked up, I thought it was Betty Locklear for some reason.
No, I got here a little early.
Are you the one that called Stan about the cones?
Huh.
The cones?
No. I called him last week, but not this week.
Maybe it was Betty. Somebody called and said the cones were still across there. We can go in the parking lot. And he said, yeah, I don't know why they didn't take them up. Just, you know, drive around them or something.
Feel like running.
It was Betty. Can you learn next week?
That's right.
Melba Ray, Michelle Ray's mother, had a stroke yesterday, last night. She's stabilized, is all we know right now. They took her to Granbury Hospital, and so I don't know if that's where she is right now, or if they brought her to Fort Worth or what, but we keep them in our prayers.
One of our little members too, Patsy Herring, has been in Plaza Medical, and she had fluid around her heart and lungs, and then now she's got what they call AFib, that accelerated heartbeat, and she's going to have to be in rehab over here somewhere, but she's been there since Sunday.
Goodness. And Joel Duque is really sick, so Shirley won't be here.
What?
I know about the Craig girls. Never know about their work. So.
Just found out that Michelle Ray's mother did not have a stroke.
That was a call from the Ray family, and Melba did not have a stroke, and she didn't have a TRA.
TIA.
And she's going to the doctor today. They sent her home, so that's a blessing. I guess she'll find out what happened to her. That's who just called, so. Jean called me. Oh, there's my mother-in-law. Jean called me about 9 before I was getting the shower, and she said she's sick. She thinks she has what Roger had. Would I take the class? I said, well, I wasn't there last week. And she said, well, all we're doing is discussing questions. So y'all have done all the other. I haven't. So y'all are going to be talking. I said, I can facilitate. So we may get out of here a little early. We'll just talk till we run out of things to say. And
well, this group, may we mean we're not getting out here early.
Okay, good. And I found out I had shingles Monday. I went to the doctor with a sinus infection. I felt better Monday. I was in the bed all day Saturday and Sunday. My head was killing me, and I have sinus infection.
What'd you say you had? Sorry.
I had a sinus infection Saturday and Sunday, and then last Thursday I started getting this I had a big bump on my back, kind of like a boil. It was itching. I thought, that's weird. And then I started getting an itch under my arm, and then it went here, and I thought, this is weird. What am I having an allergic reaction to? And I don't know why shingles came into my mind. And I guess because the shop they advertise all the time. So I said, Stan, I'm going to Google this. And I looked, and the pictures looked just like what I had. So I thought, well, I'm going to the doctor for sinuses. I'll just ask him. And he said, yep, that's what you have, is the shingles. But I have a mild case, and it hadn't hurt. It just itches, crazy itches. So hopefully he's going to call me in some cream today. And I have poison ivy stuff I've been putting on it, and it helps, but it just doesn't last very long. So, you know, if I'm up here doing all that,
it's not
playing like a monkey. Okay, if we'll bow our head, we'll face a prayer and get started. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day you've given us. Thank you for all the blessings you give us every day. Thank you for these ladies and their friendship and the opportunity we have to come together one day a week and study your word and grow closer in love and friendship. Thank you so much for Jesus who died on the cross. In his name we pray. Amen. So for those of you who just came in, I was saying Jean's sick. She called me at the last minute to do this. And since I wasn't here last week to go over all the scriptures and stuff, she said we are just talking about the discussion questions. So y'all are going to have to do most of the talking since I wasn't here. And she said she should be getting our geography books. Is it geography? Yeah. Thursday or Friday, and she doesn't want any money till she knows exactly how much it is. So hopefully we'll have them Sunday. Anyway, does anybody know where Erica is today?
Probably working.
No. Well, she's usually off on Wednesdays. That's usually her days off. But I have I hadn't talked to her since I've been out of it. Okay, so we've been talking about greed, and we're finishing up this lesson. The first discussion question is, do you think our society encourages greed, and in what ways? Well, I think, yes.
It's called advertising.
Well, I think it starts in kindergarten with all those stickers. I want more stickers than this person. Okay, what are some ways that we encourage greed today?
Everything seems to need to be bigger and better.
Bigger?
You got to get what the neighbor has, so you
keep up with the Joneses, as they used to say.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure all, there's Betty. Well, they had a bad example if they were trying to keep up with me. Okay, you never get enough. It never stops. We've all been there with something. If I just get this one thing, you know, I think I'll be okay for a while. And it just doesn't happen that way. If you've got that attitude that things are going to make you happy, it's just short-lived. So,
but you know, we are in control of ourselves. We can teach ourselves not to try to keep up with the Joneses, not to try to have everything else everybody else has. Every new gadget comes out, you just may not need that. We can teach ourselves that. We truly can.
And we need to teach ourselves that. Even if we do have the money to get every new thing that comes along, our kids may not have that kind of money when they grow up. And
besides, there's other uses for that money. It's not that if you have money, you don't have to get rid of it. There's places to use money.
Yes, there's people who aren't as blessed as we are that.
Coupons are real tempting. I had a friend who said, you know, she had a closet full of clothes. She needed to wear the clothes that are in her closet. and she's always tempted by coupons. So as soon as they come in the mail, she throws them in the trash can. So that doesn't tempt her to go buy more clothes just because she's got this discount.
You know. You feel like you're throwing money away, though, don't you?
That's false reasoning.
But, you know, that's clever because all of us are different. I get all these Bed Bath & Beyonds, and I'll have to admit, I hoard the coupons. I keep them till they absolutely are out of date. But if she feels she doesn't have that kind of self-control, she's a smart woman to get rid of them before she gets tempted. So we do need to know ourselves when it comes to things like that.
By the way, they take expired coupons.
Even the $5. I'm like you. I keep those coupons. And the only time I ever go into Bed Bath & Beyond is for a wedding gift for somebody else. I had all these coupons. I thought, you know what? I'm going to just go in there and get some things that I thought, you know, you always think, oh, I need a new spatula or whatever. But you don't get it because you're buying a wedding gift. So I redeemed some of my coupons last night, and I felt good about it.
It might just be you. You have that. You have a look that even like on like if you see it on an animal or a small child, that even the smartest person would give in to.
Okay.
I was going to say, we always tried to teach Andrew that you didn't have to go out and get the latest gadget. He was a computer nut. Stan can well attest to Andrew. But we always found that just about the time we thought we were going to get ahead, if I was working a long-term sub job or something, and okay, that's going to give us an extra $2,000 that we weren't expecting. And so maybe we're going to do this with it. And never fail. Either right after the check came in or just before the check came in, the water heater would go out. Mm-hmm. And then it destroyed the floor and we had to pay our deductible mm-hmm. for our house. Or Andrew needed dentistry work done. Something would always come up. And so I always tried to, instead of looking at the downside of it and saying, oh, you know, that kind of messed up the plans that we had, I always tried to take it as God provided mm-hmm. for that emergency that came up in our lives. And it always seems like it has worked that way, just with very few exceptions, that for some reason we had extra because someone was generous or something. But it boiled down to that we didn't spend as soon as we got it in our pocket.
Right.
We waited.
And it's like that with Christians. We have the same problems as the world does, but we just look at things differently. God is hopefully in control of our life, and our priorities are where they should be. These steroids, they got me on eye. So.
Debbie, credit cards is another thing. You know, we want things, and the credit cards make it so easy for us to go ahead and get them, even though we don't have the money at the time to purchase them.
Yeah. It can get out of hand real easy, and it's a hard lesson to learn. you almost have to learn it yourself once, you know, as far as the kids. They just...
Well, and if our children see us, that's the way they will live. Mm-hmm. So it's real important that we mm-hmm. Show them that we can control our spending.
Yeah. Of course, we've never had the money to go get every new gadget every time it comes out. We were always the last one to get something and glad to have it and use it till it dies. But on the other hand, the kids' cousins, every time something comes up, they would just go, and they're just not appreciative of much, and it's the attitude, and you can just, and my kids have seen that, so I'm not glad for the cousins, but I'm glad my kids can see. You know, we don't need to be that way. We don't need this, and especially with electronics. Next week, something better's going to come up. It just is so quickly old. So,
it's hard with the advertisements on television and in the newspapers and everywhere else. And where you look, it's
Somebody's trying to sell you something. Is it hard for some people to think, you know, well, this is going to sell now. Gotta have it.
Well, the shingle stuff, you've been hearing so much about that shot. Well, a few months ago, I had asked the pharmacist, because I had chicken pox, should I get this shot? Because usually it's older people, at least it seems 60 or older, that are in the commercials. And they said, no, you'll probably be fine. Wait until 60. So, of course, you know, sure anybody could get it.
My daughter had shingles when she was 2 years old.
Two?
Very serious.
Oh, wow. Not the chicken pox.
She had already had chicken pox.
That was very unusual, wasn't it?
They nearly killed her. Mm. So, don't think age has anything to do with it.
Well, I don't anymore. You're gonna have to talk. Like
even with the greed, even if somebody's not spending any money or anything like that, I noticed I watched my own husband do this where it's not anything we need, but it's something somebody threw out that was still in good condition, so it keeps coming in, but we don't even need it, and we don't even need to save it for the next person that needs it because nobody would walk in there anyway, and.
You don't have room for it,
we don't need it. It just, you know, and then or he'll stop me and be like, well, do you need this or you want this? Or if you had a preference, if we had this, would you have it this style or that? And I told him, I said, nothing's changed with the human race. It's still people, there's still people chewing meat off of bones and painting on walls. They just got fancy names for it. Kentucky Fried Chicken and interior decorate. But it's just...
Yeah, and it's not just... I mean, it's the attitude. Because some people may be, you know, so poor they can't have anything. But still may just want it so bad and miserable because of it. So, not a good thing, greed. You can't... It's good to be greedy for good things, right? But we often associate, I think, the word greed with not a good connotation. So... Okay, is that all for the first discussion question? Anything else? Okay, how might greed impact the Christian woman today? And what can trigger it?
Looking at other women.
Mm-hmm.
See what they have, what they do.
Especially women. Men are pretty much, as far as that, I'm sure there are some out there that are bad, but... We know women are probably way worse as far as wanting the latest fashion and shoes and whatever. So
wanting your kids to do everything all the other kids do, no matter what it costs, going on ski trips, all that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. And so in doing that, a lot of times they take an outside job. And that just causes a whole other slew of problems, doesn't it?
I don't know if this pertains or not, but we feel compelled to do what our children want. And instead of being able to tell them that, oh, so am I can't afford it. I never minded saying that. I know some people that didn't want to say that to their kids. But they need to know that we can't live that lifestyle.
Right. That you don't just go to that machine and it gives you money.
Yeah.
But kids when they're little, mom, just go to that machine and they'll get some money out. But when they were in school, and of course everybody learned all this designer stuff, I just told them, I said, you know, if I can get it for a good price, you know, it's okay to have one possibly for pair of Tommy Hilfiger jeans or whatever the thing was, but that's it, you know. We can't afford it, and we're not doing it.
One time shoes were really the thing. You wore the right kind of shoe.
Yes.
And this was the boy, or one of the grandsons, saved his money till he had half enough to buy this pair of shoes. And he wanted so badly to have those shoes. But my child, a parent, I'm not going to call name, but anyway, did not want could have done so. I think they cost $60, and that's nothing now. But at that time, that was a high price to change. And the mother said, I just can't see letting him buy a pair of shoes that cost $60 when I can buy him a good pair of shoes for $15. You know, that would be good and popular, but not the name brand. And it was a hard decision for her because he had diligently saved $30, which was a lot of money to him. Sure. But she didn't buy the shoes. She said, I just can't do it. It's just not the right thing.
Good lesson learned. I'm sure anybody else has a story like that. I'm sure there's been times when we've all just needed to teach our kids a lesson, you know.
But it bothered her too to tell him no.
Yeah.
But she thought that was the right thing to do. And it probably was.
Too many parents today try to be friends to their kids.
They don't need friends.
They don't need friends. Parents. They have enough friends. They need a mom and a dad is what they need. But so many times, you know, they don't want to get them upset. Or, and when my kids said, oh, it's mean, I said, I'm just doing my job. No, doing my job. So, and you discipline and structure and teaching.
I'm a mean mom, but I love you.
Yeah, exactly. There's a poem about a mean mom somewhere that was about not letting them stay out past midnight or doing this and that. Okay, so what can trigger the Christian woman's greed today? We talked about other women.
I think one thing is our emotions. I've seen women like get upset and then go out and like go shopping to, you know, accumulate things and like soothe their nerves and make themselves feel better and, you know, things like that. And obviously not a good thing.
No, because we get upset a lot sometimes, yeah. Right? Yeah, so, and it's a short-lived thing, you know. It's such a short-lived thing, and you've heard of people who go buy a bunch of stuff and then, you know, the next week they go take it back. I think that's kind of a disease. I think they have a name for that.
Yeah, I think there is.
Yeah. Well, I know I am guilty of some of this. I've done these things. And then I get home with what I bought, and I thought, I didn't really need this. And then I'm sorry that I've let myself think that I needed it enough to go and buy it. So I have to talk to myself some.
Well, I wander around the store for hours and don't buy a thing. I'm like, this is so dumb. But I thought, well, I guess that's just a downtime.
Yeah, because I did that yesterday.
And, you know, no kids hollering
at. I was going to say, too, when a lot of moms are sitting around talking and they're talking about what their kids have and what they're going to do for their kids, a lot of times our emotions get the better of us and we think, we start feeling guilty that we're not providing those things for our kids. Or we want to keep up with the Joneses. Mm-hmm. We want to have what those ladies seem to have.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know their finances. They're probably in $25,000 worth of debt.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
Well, when we first moved here and lived up on Robert's Cutoff, our landlord lived just a few houses down. And they didn't have grandkids, so they just kind of adopted Josh and Kendra. But they did have a nephew that was Josh's age, I think, and he had lost both parents early on, and his great-grandmother was raising him, and he had everything. I mean, he just thought they'd love to go play over there at his house, and of course, the kids come back, and wow, he got this new thing, you know, and we sat him down and said, he does, but he has no mom and dad, you know. He's missing the most important thing that kind of helps. You know, when you can, and I guess everybody would do that if it happened to them, talk to your kids about things. Don't just, we can't afford that, here we go. But, and not every time. Sometimes you just need to sit them down and look at them and I guess make them understand more, you know. I'm not just being mean. It's just for your own good, and we, you know, we do this, we can't do that, whatever the situation. So
I think if our kids are old enough and they are familiar with the Bible, and that I know, if Courtney doesn't mind me saying so, they're real good about showing their girls what the Bible says. And I think if we would show them that we have a responsibility to them because God told us, or something like that, that they would, if they could connect that with God in the way we're supposed to be for Him,
yes,
that it might make sense to them,
yes,
and really help them know that it's not just you that's telling them they can't have something. You're doing it because
exactly
it's best for them.
Yes, and we should do that. That I think that's what the Lord's talking about when He tells us to teach your kids in the morning and at night when you're walking, when you're, you know, I think that's exactly, you know, everything you could, yeah, have an opportunity to go back to the Word and bring something biblical out of it, you know. So
I think, you know, we talk about people wanting to be friends with their kids. It says bring them up in the nurture, which is the caring and stuff, and admonition.
Yes.
That means a lot of times we're admonishing them. We're trying to show them the right way. And that isn't with yeses.
Yes.
That's with a lot of no's.
Yeah. And once again, I think that's what's wrong with a lot of kids today. They don't know there's consequences. You know, when you just move them from something that's bad over here and they don't get in trouble for it. Never any consequences, you know, we just go on. So
I don't think we have young mothers and young children right now, but I think the greatest thing you can do is to start them off with a little budget of their own, and each week give them a budget and fix their envelopes and help them know what they have and what to do with it. I remember one time when Jean wanted to go to Louisville. I think she told this story. And she had used up her allowance, and she went to her dad and said, I want to go to the movie with so-and-so. And he said, and he already viewed the movies and knew what was on, and she could go. She said, but I don't have enough money. And he said, well, did you get your allowance? And she said, yeah. He said, seems to me like you have a money problem. Because she both saved the money till she wants to use it, and he didn't give her the money to go. And he's a teddy bear, you know.
Yeah.
That. He didn't do that.
Well, sometimes they just need that lesson.
Yeah,
I'm sure there were other times when he did, you know, feel like, okay.
Okay, I give her work to do. Like she'll be doing stuff with the garden or potting the plants. And then pay her the minimum wage, and then explain to her not eating company time if she's been playing around and say, you're going to get your minutes docked because you're goofing off. And she saves it, and then I said, okay, are we doing this in cash form or a toy or something that she wanted, because it would be one or the other. And she collects miniatures for the dollhouse.
Okay.
It works out.
Well, it's a constant thing with kids and family, and especially with kids and at home, there's so much you can teach them about coupons and saving and pension pennies. That's, Jean said that, I guess, I wasn't here last week, so the week before, you know, being a stay-at-home mom, you know, it's hard work trying to do everything, keep it where you can stay home. You know, it's not always a piece of cake, and anything worthwhile is going to take some work. And we all know that. Okay, the next discussion question is it greed to push one's husband, in my glasses, I guess, is it greed to push one's husband to earn more by working more? When might it be greed and when not? It's kind of an obvious question, but
Medical bills come to mind. You know, those are unforeseen, unexpected things. It might be due to the people's part of not saving for a rainy day, but sometimes medical bills are astronomical. I mean, you just can't have saved that much for a rainy day. So there are circumstances that might require two jobs or might require the wife going to work for a while or whatever.
The only thing that puzzled me about the question is it agreed to push one postman. And I couldn't imagine pushing to go to work.
Unless it was...
It wouldn't have worked for me to push. He would go. Of course he would if we needed that. But I had a smile and I thought, what push one postman?
Well, that probably,
it's just poor wording as far as I'm concerned. It's kind of funny.
It's a true need, like medical bills or maybe a special vacation, I guess it would be okay, but on a, not all the time, just go to work so we can have more.
It's necessity and not just what you want.
Right. And usually if you do want to do something special so he works more, you're in it together. So that, I guess, would really be pushing. So. Anything else?
I think that's one thing that would depend on your situation. If you're lucky enough to have a husband who is going to take care of those type of things, you're not going to have to push. I can remember Larry all the time having three jobs. But got a low. You may have to really push him. Hopefully none of us wouldn't have that, but if that's the only thing I'm thinking, it might make a situation like that real necessity.
Right.
And that seems like a question that the man should answer. Does he want to work and have that next?
I could call Stan up here. No. Okay, let's see here. What might a Christian woman exhibit? How might a Christian woman exhibit greed when it comes to her children? Y'all been moms a lot longer than I have, so... We've already talked about that a little bit. You know, we don't like to see our kids hurt. Whether it's legitimate or not, it's a hard thing. And when kids come home and, Susie's got this new phone. Whatever. We want our kids to fit in and to have things other children have. But,
Now, see, Debbie, that's the generation gap here, though. You're talking to people who it wasn't a matter of that kid over there's got the newest, latest phone. It's that kid got a phone, a cell phone, and I didn't get one. So here we got a little generation gap here.
Because our kids didn't get them either until they started driving. And I've got to say, especially for Kendra, that was a blessing to know that when she was out by herself, she had a phone if she needs something. Yeah. And so that's pretty much how it was. About. But, not just phones, the latest toy. Yeah. Once
and this ski trip, at least when my kids were in school, the schools actually somehow, some way sponsored ski trips. The kids had to come up with the money to get in on this. But so... there's all kinds of things that come up that the kids whine and you start giving in to this stuff. And again, there's just not that teaching that, money only goes so far and that's it. We have necessities we look at first. The other stuff we look at last. And then it's got to be kind of divvied up. You can't focus on you.
God, that's the world doesn't exist around you.
Paul's teaching to be content in what we have isn't just for adults.
No. Yeah. Well, you learn as children, so the sooner you can learn that lesson, the better off you're going to be. And it's not just about things, it's about fitting in or being the
best player on the team, and having everybody look up to you, and miserable if you're not that. So it's just a lot of ways to apply that.
That one thing with Caitlin is she wanted this Barbie or something, and she kept she would throw a fit, and she would talk with her dolls and say that they needed friends and everything else, and I said, well, we just can't afford it. And then she threw one of her daddy's lines on me that he would always throw whenever he wanted something, and he said, and she looks at me and she says, tell your boss you'll work overtime. But it was awful.
Danny, I was going to say that sometimes it's our attitude that we want our kids to be the best. Yeah. So we sign them up for everything, even sometimes things that they're not interested in. And we send them to piano lessons and extra ball practice, and we make sure that we, you know, that they have the best.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's trying. I've got a cousin that got her children into, or her daughter into beauty pageants real early. Well, now they've got her into Hollywood and things, and it's always needing the best, needing that approval of something that you're missing within yourself,
mm-hmm.
living through them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. I know when my daughters were in high school, I had two in high school at the same time, and they had been included in a very, very lavish wedding at the church. And, of course, that was all the conversation was, the kind of wedding dress they were going to have, you know, and so on. And I'm feeling smaller and smaller because I knew I couldn't afford anywhere close to what this family had had.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter said something about it, and I said, well, I'll make your dresses for you. Can you do that? I said, I can put beads on a dress just like anybody else can. And I guess that got to the crowd. This little boy who was very serious about my older daughter, he didn't come ask me his permission to marry her. He just said, Miss Jones, does it really take a year for you to pearl her dress? And I knew immediately what he was getting. I said, it may take over a year. And all he remembered was the beads, and wanted to know if I really was going to pearl her dress. And I really did.
And how long did it take you?
It didn't take me a year.
She started cutting back. I don't need that.
No, well, it really wasn't her fault, it was mine. I had an agenda, and I wanted, well, it wouldn't take you that long anyway. Let's face it, you can put a lot of pearls down for a lot less than a year. But they were in high school together, and they married 6 weeks apart. So
wow.
I really don't know how the beads got on there in that situation.
But they did, and it.
But
always worked.
But
out.
It didn't bother. It didn't seem to bother my kids that they couldn't have things like other kids could. And I guess every time one of them said something, I said, "No, you have to do it yourself," mm-hmm. you know. And we pretty well did.
Mm-hmm. Well, my kids never had a big problem like that either, because I think they just knew, you know, to my parents. I always tell them, we have four kids. They only have two kids, so who you want to get rid of?
This boy's daddy worked for the airlines, and my daughter didn't have near, her daddy didn't have near that income, you know. So.
Maybe that's why I don't have grandkids now, because have kids, you can't have stuff. We did tell Josh when he started college, he's like, I want to go skiing in the winter and do this and that, and like, don't get married, you know, you do all your fun stuff first. He did get to do some fun stuff, but He abided his time pretty well, I guess. Okay, what are some examples of greed when it involves members of the congregation or our neighbors? Well, I know some people who just, if it's not done their way, they're mad, you know, no matter what it is. They, you know, this is, just got my strong opinion that this is the way it should be. And I think that's a form of greed and can cause a lot of problems, you know. And if it doesn't go that way, well, they're mad for a while. You know, of course, that's not right. What else? What are some other examples in the congregation? Or our neighbors, greedy neighbors.
I was going to say, in terms of power and things in the church and stuff, we've been at congregations where somebody was upset that they didn't get to lead singing as much as they wanted to. They would prefer to be up there every Sunday. And when they had to take turns, it seemed like it really bothered them. And so greedy for power can be an issue.
Mm-hmm.
What color paint the bathroom and what?
Yeah, just little things. And unfortunately, so many times that's things that's with the church, little stuff like that that really, you know, who cares? In the big picture, it certainly shouldn't cause major problems. So
right before we were leaving Brenham, they started in on some major remodel, which needed to be done. It was time. And one of the men said, he wanted to get a couple of the ladies together to go and pick out the floor and pick out the paint color. And I said, you know what? I said, the ones that are already involved in it have excellent taste. And more, the more people you have, the more
problems
you start having. I said, as long as y'all keep the toilet inside the building and we don't have to walk out across the pasture to the corner of the lot for an outhouse, I'm good. And he was like, really? You don't want to be involved? I said, no. I mean, as long as I don't paint it like a neon green or some crazy color, which I know these ladies aren't going to do.
Right. And once again, we've all had situations come up. I've been around people like that, whether it's been our, you know, members of the church in some situation or when our kids were in school and you're doing stuff or whatever, and it's just, sometimes you just have to be the bigger person and say, you know, whatever you want.
We can be greedy too when we see others getting new cars and they're getting new gadgets and they're wearing new clothes and things. I mean, we all fall victim sometimes to the not being content.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I guess that's how the Lord keeps us humble. There's going to always be somebody that's got more, that's, you know, prettier or whatever. So, and it's not about that. That's the whole thing. It's not about that. We're trying to get to heaven and take as many people with us as we can. So we have to just keep coming back to the Word and coming back to what we're here for. Okay, what can we do as Christian women to eliminate the sin of greed from our lives?
Practice contentment. Whatever state you find yourself, be content.
Did everybody hear that? Practice contentment. Mm-hmm. In whatever state you're in, try to be content.
You can always try to do better. But be content as you get there, you know.
We can pray for our attitude regarding it and pray for the people and rejoice with them when they are successful in life.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we can think about others instead of thinking about self. Mm-hmm. We can give up selfishness. Well, anything we give up, greed, selfishness or whatever. We need to fill that spot with something good. Mm-hmm. And especially in the power realm of things, I think. We're just thinking about ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And we all have special things that I have things I can do that y'all can't do, and just the opposite. And, you know, remember those things. We cannot be everything. We'd all be clones. Yeah. You know, if we were, and we wouldn't want that. You know, we sure wouldn't want that.
We need to take a real good look at ourselves. I don't think there's anybody in here that would probably not know when they had behaved or had a bad attitude. But do you just dismiss it, or do you work on it and say, I've got to improve in this area? Because that's something God commands us to do all the mm-hmm. time, is to improve and to grow. And
we should. And if we do mess up, and I've been snappy at people here before, and I'm like, did I just do that? I go back and say, I'm sorry. I had a moment, and yeah. that should not have happened. So, but I can't let it go. Guilt just eats me up. But, especially as women, when you don't feel good, yeah. and you just, those things just come out sometimes, and you feel like, and we were taught, who was I talking to? It was Jeremiah with some decisions he was having to make, and he was worried how some people might, this particular person might react that he was rooming with. I'm like, you know what? You do everything right and like you're supposed to, and you cannot worry about how they're going to react, you know? Yes. If you always do what's right, you don't have to worry about it. It's their problem. You cannot control how someone acts or reacts to you. But if you just always do what's right, you'll be fine. And you can just, you know, you can move on. Of course, it all turned out right. It all worked out right with this apartment thing. But
I made a New Year's resolution this year, and I don't like resolutions because I usually break them before I get them. But my resolution is to be a kinder, gentler person. And I have remembered that all year. It really has helped me at times to react differently than I would want to.
Right. And I'm sure we could all use that, because it's just our human nature. You just react to things, you know, instead of taking a counting to 10. And sometimes, I know especially with my kids, this is not about greed, but we have to be careful about, I know when the big bell-bottom things were in, I wore them when I was in school, and I did not like them these days. I thought, you're not getting any of those. Kinder wanted some so bad. The ugliest things, you know, bell-bottom pants. And finally, I thought, you know what? They're modest. It's passing, and she likes it. So, you know, that was her. That was her personality, and that was her. In saying I didn't like the pants, so I don't want you to have them, I was kind of saying, you know, I don't like your taste. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So, you know, as parents, we have to, you know, if it's, you got to pick your battles. And if it's something like that, you just, and you know, at the time when you're caught up in it, it took me a while before it dawned on me what was happening. I'm like, oh, okay, well, you know, that's not that big a deal.
A wise man ponders.
Yeah.
And you know, it's temporary, because today they want one thing, tomorrow it's a new something, yet another idea. Mm-hmm. I remember the year my grandson dyed his hair orange for Halloween. And the principal called me to come get him. They wouldn't let him stay in school. And he started, when I went in the office, because his mother and daddy were here in town, and we were out in East Texas. He started into lecturing me about bringing them to school like that. And I said, I'm old enough to be able to take a joke. I wish you could, because tomorrow they'll be back just like they always were, little blonde-headed boys. Mm-hmm. And they said, "Well, are you going to punish them?" I said, "Yeah, I am. We're going around here to the cafe and see what kind of the biggest sundae we can find." And that's what we did. I thought, well, it's Halloween. It's a joke. It's something that the kids did.
That's called choosing your battles.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Jeans with holes in them. Bell bottoms.
I'm like, hey, just keep wearing your jeans. When they get holes in them, you'll still be in fashion.
Well, now the holes are fashionable.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I wouldn't buy those either. In fact, they had to buy their own.
I got my great granddaughter for a pair of jeans. She was at a Christmas party in a pair of jeans that had a hole. That thing must have been that long, big slit in them. And I said, "Honey, can't your daddy afford you another pair of jeans?" And she was insulted. And her daddy said, "Well, that's the newest thing, don't you know, Grandma?" And I said, "Okay,
whatever."
And I shut up, because I knew I'd already stuck my foot in my mouth.
Well, I'd always tell the kids, "Yeah, you can have those. I can go get me your jeans."
I said, "If it's me, I'd take them home and patch them."
My parents used to say, "If they go naked, you're going to go naked too."
I remember one time.
Saying,
"Yeah, you can have your ear pierced if you'll let me pierce your nose too." They want that. Okay, we're almost done here. How can we help our brothers and sisters with this problem?
Very carefully.
Yeah, very carefully. And, you know, that's something that, you know, we should be able to talk to our brothers and sisters. And they should take it in a way that it's intended.
Mm-hmm. One thing is when we see them doing something that is positive, that we can encourage young mothers that, you know, "I appreciate how you did that with your children." That teaches them to be content and, you know, keep up the good work. And then we can pray for them.
Right. And we need to do that, because if you never say anything to anybody until something's wrong, that's not, of course, you know, they're not going to take it right. This so-and-so never speaks to me, but when I wore this, you know, so... You know, that's something to think about, and we need to try to get around to everybody that we can and just be friendly with everybody, and young and old and whatever, and then we should be able to talk and teach our young women. That's what our job is older Christian women, to teach the young women. And
I'd like to pat Westside on the back a little. I think it's one of the friendliest congregations, and I think the young and older mix, and who would know better than I, how they all mix, you know. You mm-hmm. don't feel left out just because you're the oldest person.
Yes, I think so, too. We've been to lots of congregations, and
they are always good to be home. They are the most thoughtful and considerate young people I've ever been around. You know, they don't know me. They don't have any business being nice to me, but they all are. They're very sweet.
Well, they do have business being nice to you, because you're their sister in Christ.
I know, but they've grown up with these other people. But I'm new here, and I don't expect it, but they do. They are very, very friendly and very thoughtful and very sweet.
Well, thank you guys for trudging through this, and hopefully Jean will be back next week, and I don't know if we'll start our new books then or what, so just keep an ear open, and we'll see, okay?
Has she ordered them yet?